Today on Growing Through Grace.
We should continue to make our attempts to find God's will and the open door that He has for us without being discouraged. I'm asking, I'm seeking to know what I can do, and then I'm waiting for the Lord to make it so. Not just a fair weather friend, He is your Lord.
Listening to Growing Through Grace with Pastor Jacob Elin of Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California. And this last program in our series through the book of Ephesians concludes with a call to persistent, constant, and daily prayer. Pastor Jack will continue in our study from last time in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 24, as he finishes up this message on prayer and Paul's final words to the church in Ephesus, and the great encouragement it's been to us. Here's Pastor Jack.
When Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount there in chapter 6, He said to His disciples, don't pray like the heathen. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So here's what you can eliminate prayer about. Informing God. He already knows. All right, Lord, let me just tell you what's going on here. And I'm sure if you see it my way, then you're going to do what I need you to do. God knows. It's not about informing. He wants you to just come and ask. Lay your needs at His feet. What a friend we have in Jesus. But when you get done asking, you are then told to seek. And seek is an interesting word because it follows a behavior with an action. The word seek is not just praying impassively, or I should say passively, simply praying passively. Often, you know, we go pray and then we do nothing more. But we've got to do more. Lord, I want to know you better. Great, great prayer. Get your Bible out. Start reading. Go to church. Learn. Lord, I want to know you more. And then I sit at home with the TV. Lord, please reveal yourself more. You see, we ask, but we don't seek. We don't give feet to our faith. We just kind of, you know, passively go along. What did Jesus say? You search the scriptures. In them you think you have life. They tell you who I am. They testify of me. Or you say, Lord, I need a job. Please, Lord, give me a job. And then you come in for counseling and some wise pastor says to you, how many resumes have you filled out? How many job applications? Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. What does that mean? It means I haven't filled out any. So you're asking, but you're not seeking. You're not out there moving. You want God to direct the boat, but you are docked. You are tied at the dock. Lord, move me. I can't. Because you're not seeking. You're just asking. And that's not going to be enough. You're going to have to get out there, fill out resumes. You want the Lord to give you a job? Go fill out some resumes. Go fill out some applications. Go knock on some doors. Nehemiah, when he was moved by the Lord he really wanted to go to Jerusalem to help with the rebuilding process. He literally worked for a king that would have killed him had he asked. Or at least that was the situation. So he prayed. He asked, Lord, if there's any way I could go. Didn't see a way, but he prayed. But this is what he did over the next many months while he waited. He began to plan out, if he was allowed to go, what he would need. He began to seek. I'll need this much money. I'll need these many building materials. I'll need a Costco credit card. You know, he had the whole thing planned out. So when the king said, what do you need? He goes, this is what I need. How long will you be gone? This is why, how long I'll be gone. He did more than ask. He sought the Lord and he made plans and he looked ahead. When later he was faced with enemies who wanted to stop the work, he got everybody together and he prayed, he asked, and then he set a watch. These guys come through the walls, make sure you take care of them. It was not enough to just ask. They had to seek, if you will. Seeking means to pray and then do what you can. Do your part, waiting for God to do the rest. And finally, you got to knock. And the word knock is the word for perseverance, if you will. We should continue to make our attempts to find God's will and the open door that he has for us without being discouraged. I'm asking, I'm seeking to know what I can do, and then I'm waiting for the Lord to make it so. He is not just a fair-weather friend to you. He is your Lord. In the last few verses, verse 11, 12, and 13, at least of that example, we read, now, if a son asks for bread from a father among you, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So even in the conclusion of the training or the teaching of the 12, Jesus returns to that model and says, you know, our relationship with God through his Son puts us in a wonderful way to understand that God wants to help. Unlike the interpretation of these charlatans who wanted to say, just beat God up and you'll get what he wants. You'll get what you want. If you use the right words and say it the right amount of times, Jesus says, just ask and seek and knock, stay with it, and you have a heavenly Father in heaven. Look, your sinful fathers can be a good guy. Even sinful man in love for his children will seek to do as good as he can in serving his kids. In love. Parental love is found even among sinful men. But here's the comparison. How much more would you expect the Lord of heaven, your heavenly Father, who is perfect, whose timing is impeccable, whose decisions are always right, whose love is for us, not against us, to give us his best? Give us the Spirit. Protect us, direct us, enlighten us. Like I said, there is one other long example from our Lord about persistence in prayer. You can read about it yourself in Luke 18. I think it's the first 8 verses as well, where there is a parable of an unjust judge. Maybe you remember this. It's another one of those parables of contrast, God contrasting himself with an unjust judge. And the lesson is the same. God will give you answers. He is for you. Just wait upon his timing. He is a good God. He is a good Father. He wants to be involved, but you have to do your part. And prayer is not to inform. It isn't even to beg. It is designed to bring you into the throne room where you and God can do this thing together. And sometimes you wait, and sometimes while you're praying, the answers come. But the focus or the purpose of it is still the same. We bring our needs to the Lord, and we walk away knowing he knows what we need. And we can rest knowing that we've left our cares with the Lord. Prayer is always used by God to accomplish his purposes in us. It's not, like I said, to inform. It's not to convince God of our needs. It is a place where you are brought to a place of rest and leaving your cares with him. It's an act of faith. Persistent, consistent prayer will always overcome the temptation of our flesh to go it alone. It'll develop in me a need to look to him first. And I'll tell you what, when pressure comes, people turn to whatever's most comfortable. They don't turn to the Lord if that isn't their practice. You know, you'll do whatever's natural, like breathing. You'll turn to what you normally reach for when trouble comes. If you learn to just turn to the Lord constantly, you can't lose. But like I said, prayer is not so much a place to state your case or bargain for a response. It's a place for you to be changed, for you to find rest, for you to rely upon the Lord. You are equipped, and indeed, this is what the armor says. You put all this on, and then you go bring it to the Lord while you're hiding behind the shield, and you're speaking God's word, and you're learning it yourself. So, verse 18, let's look at it again. Praying always with all prayer and with supplication, led of the Spirit, watchful to the end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Frequency of prayer, always. Variety of prayer, prosuke. It is the word for just talking to God. It can be public, it can be private. But the word prosuke in Greek means just talking with God. The word desis, supplication, is specific prayer with an exact purpose for somebody else. It's a need that is stressed, and it can even be for yourself, but mostly it is applied to others. With all prayer, we should always come to the Lord for all of our needs, using everything God's given us to relieve ourselves of the anxieties of life. It says don't be spasmodic about prayer. Don't pray in fits, if you will, because it's interesting. We have to fight the tendency in our lives to transfer from total dependence upon the Lord to becoming interdependent, to eventually becoming independent. You see it in your kids. You know, they get to be a certain age and they don't think they need you anymore until they realize they haven't paid any rent yet or paid for food. But at some point they get where they're, I can do it better myself. They kind of move away from you, and at some point they're off on their own, and then unfortunately sometimes they're back in their old bedroom, you know, when they're 30 years old, which isn't a good idea at all for anybody. So we have to learn to be totally dependent upon the Lord in a variety of prayer, led by the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. This isn't canned praying. This isn't much praying. This isn't vain speaking, as Matthew says. This isn't liturgy or pre-recorded fellowship with God. There's a guy on TV hawking an app now where you can pray with him every day. Let him pray. That's hardly talking with God any more than I want to talk to you, so I send you a recording of somebody else. It just doesn't work. You know, I saw a guy, maybe you've seen him, you know, you see him a lot of political places where they're asked to come pray the chaplain, and he goes like this, "Dear Heavenly Father." And he begins to read, and it's beautiful. It's just baloney. You know, the Lord's going, he's not talking to me. He wrote that to somebody. He wrote that for the audience. He didn't write this for the Lord. He's not talking to Jesus. He's talking to be heard by others. That's not being led of the Spirit. Not convincing. True prayer is almost the exact opposite of relying on form or ritual. Have you ever heard someone pray who doesn't know the Lord? Maybe ask your family member at Christmas, hey, could you say grace? Oh, yeah. And they start, and they're uncomfortable. They don't know what to say. They don't know who they're talking to. They don't know where this is going. They've got no conviction about it all. And it's very uncomfortable to listen to. It's not very convincing either. We want to be led of the Spirit, right? We want to be praying as the Lord leads us. Now, we have this confidence, John would write in one of his letters, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And if he hears us, we know that whatever we ask, we have the petitions that we desire. In other words, have great confidence. You're finding God's will out. You're praying according to what he wants. You're going to see God's action move. We have to be led of the Spirit. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name. So it's through him that we begin to desire and to learn what God wants. So you have the frequency always. You have the variety of praying specifically, publicly, personally, for one another. And then you have the focus of prayer. And it says we should be watchful to the very end. We should not let down our guard when it comes to praying, but through perseverance and supplication, praying for each other. Praying for each other. That's what Paul says. Hey, you're in a battle. You got your armor on. You better pray for your neighbor. How much time do you spend praying for your neighbor? Just the folks sitting next to you in terms of minutes a day. You can't pray properly if you're unaware of what's going on. Do it with all perseverance. Great word in Greek. It means to stick with it, right? It means that no matter what's happening, I'm not quitting. I'm here for the duration. I'm here to the end. Supplication for all of the saints, intercessory for all of the saints. So it's good to pray for yourself constantly, stay close to the Lord in fellowship, and then keep your eye on everybody else around you. This is a team effort. We're in a body of Christ. Why this encouragement at the end of the battle? Because we need each other. I need you to pray for me. You need me to pray for you. The Lord set it up that way. Isolation kills you. Staying out of church kills you. Staying out of fellowship will suffocate your spiritual life. You've got to stay close. Jude, he wrote a little one-chapter book towards the end of your Bibles. He said, look, I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, and it's necessary that I would exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith that's been delivered to the saints. So, come on, guys, we got to stand together. The church more than ever today, I think, needs to stand together. One of the devil's oldest tricks is to isolate and then have you convinced that your situation is unique. You're one of a kind. No one's ever gone through what you're going through. Oh, my goodness, what happened to you? It's never happened to anyone else. And yet you go to 1 Corinthians, is it 10:13? It says, no temptation has befallen you except as is what? Common to man. And that with every, God is faithful. He won't allow to be tempted beyond what we're able. With every temptation, he'll provide a way of escape so that you'll be able to bear it. Look, we're all going through the same things. It's amazing watching sometimes the small group studies, guys and girls begin to really share with each other what they're learning. And you almost sit in awe, like, everybody should realize we're the same. Pastor, I know that you pray a lot. Do you? You think I have any more confidence than you do in prayer sometimes? No, we're all the same. We got to get there together. My goal is we don't lose anybody along the way. We're not leaving. We're like the Marines, right? We're not leaving anybody behind. At least we shouldn't. Most people's prayer lives are 95% about themselves. Yet as we pray for others and stand in the gap for them, something happens. We lose our subjective view of life. You know, we get our eyes off of ourselves. It's always my problem and my needs and my wants and my fears and my difficulties. Instead, I begin to say, how are you doing? What can I pray for you for? I know a lot of times in church people say, Pastor, could you pray for me? And, you know, if you get 20 people to stop you on a Sunday and ask, you're going to forget somebody. Here's my policy. You ask me to pray, we're going to pray right now so I don't forget. Now, I'll try to remember, honestly. But sometimes it's hard to keep track of everyone. But we can pray right now, and the Lord can listen to us as we pray. Certainly. We need to be able to pray together and stand together and look to the Lord together. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, which had a lot of trouble, but he said to them, you know, there shouldn't be any division in the body. We should have the same care one for another. If one suffers, we should all suffer. If one is honored, we should all rejoice with them. I mean, there's no way to separate yourself from the group. I think I'm loved here more than with my own family. How about you? So often, this is the place to be. You know, you'd rather be at church than in the world. It's a comforting place to be. And most of you make it that way. No, you both. Paul, I think Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 4. I thought that'd be funnier, but that's okay. Romans chapter 14, it said, no one lives to himself, and no one dies for himself. In other words, we have a light to share. When Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, like I said, a difficult church, he said to them, I want you to not be ignorant, brethren, of the things that happened to us in Asia, how we were burdened beyond our strength. We were despairing even of our very lives. We had the sentence of death, and we didn't trust ourselves, but the Lord who raises the dead. And he did deliver us from such a great death. And then he says, you helped us by praying for us. You stood with us. You were a good part of what God was doing. It's God's chosen method. We're going to, Lord be willing, start the book of Colossians in a couple of weeks. The pastor, Epaphras, was a man who prayed. He got led to the Lord by Paul in Ephesus and then packed up and went home to where he had come from, Colossians, and began a church. But Paul said of him, I've never seen anybody so committed to praying for his church, for his people. Epaphras was a man who was devoted to the things of God. We're called to pray for each other. That's why we have prayer meetings every other Saturday, just so that we could take these slips and take them with us and pray for a week for people we've never met sometimes. You know, when the Spanish War broke out in Barcelona years ago, according to history, the psychiatric hospitals in Barcelona had never had so many people in their wards. The places were overflowing with people looking for psychiatric help. When the war broke out, one of the first measured effects of the war was that the psychiatric hospitals emptied out and that more people were now gone than were in. And the reason was they had a greater anxiety than they had for their own life. Now they worried about their families. They went home. They went to take care of their families. They went to battle for their country. And losing themselves for the needs of others, they became well. It's healthy to pray for somebody else. If you just look at yourself, you know what you do? You run into a lot of stuff. You've got your eyes up. You'll know where you're going. Certainly. Verse 19, Paul says, and as for me, you know, pray with all prayer and supplication, watching. And then he says, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you might also know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make known these things to you, whom I have sent to you for this purpose, that you may know our affairs, you might comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Before he ends and blesses the people, Paul asks for prayer for himself. Now, intercession, that's what he'd been speaking about. He says, I could sure use some prayer right now. Think about where Paul was. He was on trial, under house arrest in Rome. He'd been in prison for 2 years in Israel, almost got killed on his way to Rome, been in jail for 2 years in Rome, so to speak, was going to have to appear before Nero, the absolute nutcase, and he didn't know how it was going to turn out. He was ill, from what we can read in his letters, and yet, I would say, no request for good judgment at the trial, no request for, I would like to feel better. His request was, would you pray for me that I could boldly open my mouth? I want to preach. I want to hold nothing back. He wanted to be delivered from the fear of man. I'm sending you Tychicus. It's going to bring you all the details. You know, Paul is an interesting guy because no matter where God put him, he turned the circumstances into a blessing. Here's a guy for 20 years has been on the road. He never really, you know, could survive anywhere. You know, he didn't stay long anywhere. He just kind of moved along. He was a guy that just, we kind of a vagabond kind of guy. And yet when he gets to prison, he writes to the Ephesians, he writes to the Colossians, writes to the Philippians. He starts praying for everyone and sending people back and forth. You know, maybe you feel trapped because you can't do much. You have 4 kids at home and you're working every day or all day, whatever it might be. Hey, you can pray. And the world can change because of intercessory prayer. It's something that you can do today. I think it's Hebrews 7 where we read that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to the Lord through him. He lives to make intercession for them. That's speaking about Jesus. Making intercession for, he's praying for you tonight. He's interceding for you tonight. So with that, Paul lays down his love letter to the Ephesians and the saints that he would gladly have laid his life down for. Spent 3 years with them, been 5 years since he's seen them. This is his letter. There's no really correctiveness. There's a lot of encouragement. It's a good letter, don't you think? I hope you take a lot away with it.
What a great conclusion to our series in the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for enriching our hearts through all of these truths. We've been listening to a study taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 24. This has been the second half and conclusion of a two-part study taught by Pastor Jack Abelin. If you'd like to get the entire message, we do have that available for you. All you need to do to order, simply contact us and ask for study number 3699. It's always helpful for us to know the radio station that you're listening to, so be sure to mention those call letters when you get a hold of us. And here in the month of June, we're offering in the MP3 format the Old and New Testament of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible at a special bundle price. With over 1,000 studies to listen to, this would make a great gift for anyone on your list or even yourself. So if you'd like to walk with Pastor Jack through the entire Old and New Testament in this MP3 format, you can order this resource or get today's study by dialing our toll-free phone number. That number is 866-88-GRACE. That's 866-884-7223. You can also order by mail. Just address your letter to Growing Through Grace, P.O. Box 1954, Whittier, California, 90609. Or you can get this resource and many others on our website at growingthroughgrace.com. That's growingthroughgrace.com. And if you're ordering by phone, just remember that our Growing Through Grace office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And that's going to wrap it up, not only for today, but for this week. We do look forward to being with you again in our next program. So until then, as you daily walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, may you continue to grow in His grace. Growing Through Grace is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California, a Calvary Chapel outreach.